We're going to go to Acts 12. We're going to begin at verse 6. Read about 6 verses of scripture and get into the word today. If you have a Bible in your hand, you can go there. If not, we'll have it up here on the screen for you. Amen? Praise God. Acts 12, verse 6. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know for a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews."
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Lift your hands to the Lord. Praise. A shout of praise for his word today. Come on. Put your hands together. Amen. Bless it. Hallelujah. Come on. Bless him today for his word. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. We bless you this morning, God. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated today. And if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought: sleeping with the enemy. Amen. Sleeping with the enemy. Look at your neighbor and say that. Sleeping with the enemy. Hallelujah. This story in Acts chapter 12, pretty familiar. Amen. To most, amen, that has not any familiarity with the word. Amen. Especially the book of Acts. Amen. But it takes place after the first of the 12 who followed Jesus was martyred. The Bible tells us that James had been beheaded by King Herod Agrippa I. Amen. He was the king, the Roman king. Amen. And he had been, James had been beheaded. Now we know that James was the brother of John. We know that John was in a little bit of the inner circle with Jesus. You often see Peter, James, and John. Amen. You see the three of them together a lot. But James was the first of the 12 that followed Jesus to be martyred. Amen. And the Bible says that Herod was harassing some from the church. Amen. I like that, he was harassing some. Amen. You see, there are some, hallelujah, that will position themselves, amen, and the enemy, praise God, will set out to stop them. Amen. But we can see in the scriptures, amen, in this story that Herod reaching out and harassing and targeting, if you will, certain people of the church. Amen. Remembering and realizing that the church has just began to be birthed. The church has just began to be on the move. Amen. And the gospel being preached. Amen. But we can see in the word that this was a politically motivated, amen, happening. King Herod was motivated politically, amen, to come against the church. So when he saw that killing James pleased the Jews. Now, we just have to remind you that there were Jews, amen, that even though they were Jews, they did not believe, amen, in Jesus being the Messiah. So we have the Christian Jews, amen, that were part of the church. And then we have the Jews, amen, that was resisting, amen, this truth that Jesus was the Messiah. So we have those Messianic Jews, those Christian Jews, and then we have the other Jews. And so when Herod, amen, saw that it pleased those other Jews that were not the Christian Jews, when it pleased them that he had beheaded James, the Bible says, by the sword. This tells us, amen, that he removed or beheaded James. And when he saw that it pleased them, he then then decided that he was going to go and arrest Peter. Amen. So this was a political stunt. This was, amen, politically motivated, because this was him trying to get, amen, the liking of the Jews. Now, it was during Passover that this happened. It was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread that the Bible says that Peter was arrested. Amen. And he was going to have a public hearing, a public hanging, I call it, amen, of Peter as soon as Passover was finished. So we really don't know how long it was from the time that Peter was arrested to the time that Peter, amen, was brought out of prison. Amen. The Feast of Unleavened Bread lasts for 7 days. So the Bible just tells us that it was during, amen, this that King Herod arrested Peter, and he was going to wait until Passover was finished. Now, we can conclude and maybe come to some conclusions as to why he wanted to wait, amen. But one of the things in my mind that would stand out would be to show those Jews, amen, the non-Christian Jews, that he, amen, was honoring the Passover, that he wouldn't do anything like that during such a holy time, amen. So I feel like that everything that he did, amen, was, again, for that politically motivated purpose. The Bible tells us that he put Peter in prison. And when he put Peter in prison, he put four squads of four soldiers each. So there were four groups of four soldiers that he set to guard Peter. Amen. Typically, amen, a prisoner was only chained to one guard. Amen. There was only one guard that was chained to, amen, a prisoner. But with Peter, he took four different groups. So 16 total, amen, soldiers he assigned to Peter. Amen. But I got to thinking, amen, you see, King Herod knew, amen, that Peter was part of that group that in Acts chapter 5 that had mysteriously disappeared out of jail. When they were in jail, when the disciples were put in jail, the Bible tells us, amen, that God brought them out. He opened up, amen, the jail, and there they were. And so here's Peter, amen, who had mysteriously disappeared, amen, from prison before. So I think maybe King Herod might have thought there might be something about this this man named Peter. He's, amen, mysteriously escaped before. So who's to know, amen, if he would not do it again? Hallelujah. So you got to understand, amen, that he was assigned, amen, a high security detail. There were two soldiers, amen, that he was chained to. And then there were two soldiers who sat guard outside the prison door. Amen. So this was a high security detail. A lot of attention, amen, was being put on Peter as he was brought into this prison. Amen. The Bible tells us in verse 6, amen, that when Herod would have brought him forth. See, this tells us that this was a plot. This tells us that this was a well thought out plan. It was a timed appointment. It was a strategy that had been set in place by King Herod, amen, the enemy of Peter. Hallelujah. You see, 16 soldiers shows us where Peter's level of respect was. Amen. Are you with me? It showed us where Peter's level of respect was, because, hallelujah, he was someone who couldn't be held down. He was someone who was not easily distracted. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, you got to understand, amen, that Peter, hallelujah, was at a place, amen, in his relationship with the Lord. Amen. You know, the old saying is, more levels, more devils. Hallelujah. So, amen, the enemy knew that one soldier, one guard probably wouldn't be enough. So he went all out and set 15 more, amen, above the usual. So I'm here to tell you that when your level of spiritual respect is higher, amen, in the spirit, amen, the enemy knows, amen, that typically one demon, one devil is not going to get you to give in. So he'll assign you as you grow and you mature and you reach, amen, levels of spiritual growth. Amen, he's going to assign more demons and more devils, amen, to try and stop you and to try to hinder you. But I'm here to tell somebody today, once again, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I need somebody to help me. Hallelujah. But you see, amen, here's something that I want us to look at today. Amen, Peter's level of respect was up there. Hallelujah. He wasn't just an average churchgoer. He wasn't just somebody who showed up to be showing up. But when he left church, you could find him in the secret place of God. When he left church, you could find him testifying of the goodness and the power of Jesus Christ. I'm talking to somebody today, hallelujah, who feels the assignment of hell against your life. But I want to encourage you today, the more devils that are assigned to stop you, it's just a sign of the level of respect in the spirit. I need somebody to understand today, hallelujah, that you already have what you need. But, everybody say but. Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers. Because you see, when the enemy put him in prison, the expectation of the average prisoner is to be afraid. The expectation of the average prisoner, especially when there has not been a court date assigned, are you with me? When you're sitting there and there's no way of knowing when they're going to come and they're going to open the prison door and say, okay, Peter, now it's your time. The king would like to see you. The typical expectation would have been, hallelujah, amen, to become anxious, amen, to get worried, hallelujah, let's just give it the whole 7 days of Passover, 7 days, the expectation of the king, amen, was that by the time, amen, that a assigned day came, there would be so much anxiety and so much worry and so much fear. Amen. How could anybody sleep at a time like that? How could anybody close their eyes? Amen. As if to say, I ain't worried about nothing. This ain't about me. Come on, somebody help me. And what do we find, Peter? We find Peter sleeping. Hallelujah, between the two soldiers. Hallelujah, this contradicts the probability factor set by the enemy. See, the enemy thought probably by the time we get him out here, he's going to be willing to yield. He's going to be so overcome by fear and by worry, hallelujah, that he's never going to preach the gospel again. But I come to talk to somebody who's got a made up mind, and you're going to set the probability factor, amen, that the enemy has set for you, because he thinks what's come against you this time is going to take you out. He thinks that you're at the place that even though you said, I've had enough, amen, that when we get to the end of our strength, that's really when the strength of the Lord kicks in. I come to talk to somebody today that the enemy thought you would be taken out years ago. But here you are showing up again. Here you are with your hands raised. Here you are, hallelujah, in the secret place. You're getting ready to contradict the probability. See, that's what not over yet. But I come to tell somebody, you can sleep with the enemy. You can sleep when it looks like everything is going to turn around for the worse. You can sleep with the enemy because your peace does not come from the circumstances or by what you see. Hallelujah. But it comes through your trust. I tell you, trust doesn't always speak. Sometimes it sleeps. And in the case of most of you, it snores.
Yeah.
Even the dog snores in our house.
Yeah, mine too.
He snores as loud as Connor. And that's loud. Once in a while, you can discern the difference. They were both asleep last night in the living room. The dog was beside me. I like that dog the least out of everybody. And Connor was over on the other side, reclined back. That dog. That Lord, have mercy. Which one is which? But when you're snoring, right, you're usually in a pretty good place of sleep. So sometimes faith doesn't always speak. Come on, are you hearing me? Sometimes trust doesn't always have a message to preach. Sometimes trust just sleeps and gets in such a peaceful place of sleep. Hallelujah, that it snores and has no idea of what's going on around it. Are you with me? Hallelujah. See, the enemy knew that if he gave Peter even half a chance to get up on his feet, he would. Hallelujah. So one hand chained to a guard was not enough. He had to put Peter with both hands chained, amen, to a guard on either side. Hallelujah. But Peter, amen, praise God. You understand that the more influence, amen, you have, hallelujah, the more problems you're going to have. I can say it like this: the more power in your relationship, the more spiritual influence that you have on those around you, the more problems that you're going to encounter. Are you with me? Because the enemy does not give up easily. You see, because there is a pattern, amen, with those who get up in the Bible. When you look through the Word and you see all of those who could not be held down by adversity, when you look, amen, at the pattern of those who the enemy thought he was going to take them out, when you look at Daniel in the lion's den and they told him, "You can't pray anymore. We don't want you praying." When they put Daniel in that den of lions, Daniel opened the window and put his face, hallelujah, toward Jerusalem, and he prayed anyhow. And somehow, some way, you see, he contradicted the probability factor that the king had set. Who goes into a den of lions, and amen, the lions' mouths are kept shut, even though they're hungry, even though they smell blood? Hallelujah, the angel of the Lord came and shut their mouth. The probability of Daniel walking out was pretty, pretty low. But, hallelujah, oh, you can put a den of lions, you can put 16 devils, you can throw you in a furnace of fire, you can put you out in the middle of a raging storm and the waters overtaking you. Hallelujah. But the pattern for those who refuse to be, amen, put out, those who refuse to be put down, there's a pattern. They get up, they get up, and the enemy knows that pattern. And I've come today to talk to somebody, hallelujah, who's ready to change the enemy's predictability. in your life. Are you hearing me today? The angel of the Lord was Peter sleeping. And the angel of the Lord came to Peter, tapped him on the side, and woke him up. The complete Jewish Bible says the angel said, "Hurry, Peter, get up." So here's Peter, sleeping between the enemy. Sleeping in a time when he should have been losing his mind. What's going to happen? I didn't do anything to get in here. I didn't do anything for this to happen to me. Why is this happening to me? I stood up for Jesus. I'm the one that preached in the upper room. I'm the one. What's this happening to me? I don't understand how this is doing. I don't realize what I'm going to do. I'm stuck here. Amen. I can't get out. Hallelujah. But instead, he was sleeping, and the angel came and tapped him on the side. Hallelujah. And he said, woke him up, and he said, "Hurry, get up." Hallelujah. And when Peter got up, hallelujah, the chains fell off his hands. Hallelujah. When Peter arose and he got up, the Bible says the chains fell off his hands. Can I tell you, hallelujah, there's nothing the enemy has that is able to keep you subdued and to keep you bound. There is not addiction, not lust, not nothing, come on, that can keep you bound, that Jesus has not paid the price, that he can set you free. He paid for your freedom. Jesus didn't die for you to be stuck, amen, in the horns of addiction. Jesus didn't die for you to be dependent on some kind of synthetic drug or some kind of man-made drink that brings you and gives you a little buzz and a high. Can I get anybody in here who's been, amen, addicted? Oh, come on, I feel that. How many, amen, in here, amen, has the Lord brought you out of addiction? Stand up, I'm going to say you a minute. Come on, stand up in this place. Look around, look around. Look what the Lord has done. Because when he shows up and you get up, hallelujah, chains fall. Oh, somebody help me. I don't know who needs that today, but there is power in the name of Jesus. Chains fell off.
Come on.
Notice he stood up first.
Yes, see.
Then they fell off. Oh, come on, somebody. I said he stood up first, then they fell off. The Bible says when he rose up to his feet, the chains fell off his hands. The complete Jewish Bible translated, amen. So he was handcuffed, hallelujah, with chains to a soldier on either side. Amen. So picture him sleeping, amen, between those two soldiers. Hallelujah, they're there. Hallelujah. Amen. We know he was sitting down, so they were too. Hallelujah. And so there he is, chained and handcuffed, one on either side. The angel comes and taps him on the side and says, "Wake up, Peter." He said, "Hurry, get up." And Peter arose. And when he arose, the handcuffs fell off. Hallelujah. And there wasn't anything that those soldiers could do. Because when the power of Jesus, amen, intervenes and show up, there ain't a devil, I don't care if they're 16 or 1600, there ain't a demon that has enough authority, hallelujah, to withstand the name of Jesus. So you got to get up. You got to make up your mind. That's enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, come on, somebody.
Come on,
hallelujah. He said, "Put your clothes and your shoes on and follow me." So we know Peter probably just had nothing but, amen, an undergarment, probably maybe nothing at all. They might have stripped, amen, him completely naked, hallelujah. But he said, put your clothes on. You know why? Because you ain't going back to sleep, Peter.
Well, see.
Come on. Come on, Peter, you're out of here. He said, put your clothes and your sandals on. He said, now put your coat on. Put your robe on, because we're about to go somewhere. We're about to take a walk out of here. Look at your neighbor and say, you're about to walk out of there. Hallelujah, you're about to walk. Oh, I feel that. Hallelujah, praise God for the sake of being cliche. Look at somebody else prophesy. You're about to walk out of there. You're about to take a walk. Amen. It's not the walk of death. Amen. In the sense that you think. Come on, somebody. You ain't on death row. Hallelujah. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord's about to take you on a walk. Oh, somebody help me in this house. You've got to come out. You won't be going back to sleep, Peter. And as Peter was walking out, the Bible says he did not realize what was happening, even though the angel was real. He thought it was real. So I thought for a minute, maybe just for a minute, he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it was real, you know what I mean? Because he thought, ooh, I must be dreaming. I must be dreaming. So we don't know how the Lord's going to show up. Amen. Sometimes we don't expect the unexpected. Peter in his mind is thinking, man, what a dream this is. See, when you don't expect the unexpected, it feels like it ain't real.
Yeah.
I was just talking yesterday about something that happened, amen, to me in answered prayer, amen, back in 2008. And when it happened, I remember thinking, this is probably a joke. This is probably not real. This is probably not going to happen. And see, but I come this morning.
Well,
this message is for the risk takers.
Hey, come on.
Not the comfort keepers. Amen. We've been comfort keepers for too long. Hallelujah. I'm looking this morning for just a few risk takers. Hallelujah. That's willing. Amen. You recognize what's going on around you. Amen. Praise God. And when you declare it, when you speak it, when you tell of it, it's not speaking negative. It's speaking the truth. The truth is, I don't know how God is going to do this one. I'm not sure that I'm going to get out or how this is going to happen, but I know enough to know, hallelujah, that he's faithful and that he's trustworthy. So you know what? Pacing the floor, worrying, doubting, feel full of fear, becoming anxiety-ridden, not being able to eat, not being able to sleep, it's not going to change a thing. So now I laid it down to sleep. So I just might as well rest in the truth that he's got my back. In the truth that my God is faithful. Check the pattern. Go back to the word. Hallelujah. If he did it for Daniel, he wants to do it for you. But you got to be a risk taker. Somebody help me in this place. See, because when things are happening, when we find ourselves in a place such as Peter found himself, we often pray about the what, but we avoid the why. Right? We pray, Lord, what am I going to do? What is going to be the remedy? What is going to change? What's it going to look like? But we avoid the why. Why is this happening to me? Because see, why? The why presents accountability.
Okay.
And so we tend to want to blame somebody. And of course, it's never our fault.
Amen.
Say it again.
When you've had 12 jobs and you've left 11 of them because nobody, everybody is against you, and oh, help me, Jesus. And nobody likes you, and now the 12th job, everybody's against you. After 12 jobs, sorry, sugar face, it might be you that's causing the conflict. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Are you here with me? Hallelujah. And we don't like the wine because, amen, it causes us to, somebody to have to take the blame. And you see, blaming somebody then makes us a victim.
Yes.
Amen.
And the enemy likes for us to be a spiritual victim.
Yeah.
Everybody is against me. Everybody treats me wrong. Everybody is out to get me. Everybody talks about me. No, they don't.
Right.
But see, then we become that spiritual victim. But you see, in spiritual warfare, we aren't victims.
Come on, Pastor.
I'm talking about spiritual warfare. I'm talking, there's times when, amen, when we have been, amen, abused, and people have been hurt wrongfully, and they are victims of that. But I'm talking about in spiritual warfare. Amen. It isn't always well. Amen. This is happening to me, and that's happening to me. And I just don't understand why. See, in spiritual warfare, we aren't victims. We're already victorious. Amen. It's pre-planned. Amen. So, wherever you're at this morning, in the spirit, whether you're in prison, chained up to two guards, or whether you're in a place, amen, where you got to make decisions, wherever you're at in your walk with God and in your spiritual warfare, it's already pre-planned that you are the victor. You will come out victorious. Come on, somebody. But you have got to put yourself in that place of victory. And if you're always the victim, hallelujah, you're never going to see yourself victorious. Your victory is pre-planned. How do you know that? Because Jesus is alive.
Come on now.
Come on. Are you hearing me? See, we are a bride in preparation of a wedding.
Okay.
This is convenient.
You're ready to go.
We are a bride preparing for a wedding. We're not supposed to be spiritual bridezillas. What's a bridezilla? A bride, she's preparing for a wedding, demanding, expecting the expectations, and nobody likes the rabbit. We've got some spiritual bridezillas in the body of Christ, unfortunately, where they're demanding, amen, that God do this, and demanding that it happen this way, and demanding, amen, to know all of these things. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. But we are supposed to be working the wrinkles out. Because he said he's coming back for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. We're supposed to be, amen, working on that. Amen, making sure that our wedding garment, amen, is without wrinkle and without spot. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be, amen, making sure that we don't get distracted. So that when it's wedding day, we are ready. But if we keep ourselves as a victim mentality, then the demand is on everybody else to live up to what God would have, but not you. Amen. Are you with me? You're not a victim this morning. Spiritually speaking, you're a victor. Are you hearing me? So no matter where you're at, your victory is pre-planned.
Yeah.
It's been paid for. Peter didn't do anything to be put in prison. But he was targeted. He was attacked. And he didn't do anything to be put in prison. There he was. I thought this morning, there was Peter. Alone. No one was there with him. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
No one was there with him. Can I tell you today that sometimes going through it alone is often the purpose? God will put you in that place. You know, people say, oh, honey, just praise him. I said it. And it's true. Right? Just praise him. But how many knows you praise him?
Right.
But when your hands went down, the problem was still there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
You get a doctor's report, a diagnosis that you have this disease. And you just, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for healing. I praise you, God, for by your stripes I'm healed. When you put your hands down, it's still there.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Doesn't mean you don't praise him. Because you see, praise will break you out, but it won't always break you through.
Come on, talk right now.
Sometimes you have to stand the test. Sometimes God allows those problems. Because you see, your praise does this, though. It reminds the enemy that you know who you are.
Come on, talk right
now. I'm a victor, and I praise him because he is victorious. Your praise reminds the enemy that you know who you are, and it reminds God that you know who's in control. So when I'm going to praise you regardless, I'm going to give you praise, hallelujah, regardless. It may not change right away, but I know you're in control. I don't have nothing to do but listen and rest and sleep. Hallelujah, are you with me? Amen, we can praise him. Praise God, but listen. Hallelujah, it didn't change. Peter didn't lift his hands and praise the Lord like Paul and Silas. Amen, oh, I don't even know if he prayed. Amen, but if he did, he probably did. I don't know, but if he did, he prayed, Lord, thy will be done. Amen, but I do know this. He had enough peace that in the jail, in the prison, amen, chained to two guards, he was able to sleep with the enemy. He was able to close his eyes and be at peace. Who in their right mind would close their eyes in the presence of the enemy? Amen, listen to me. Herod's desire was to have a political advantage among the Jews. Hallelujah. King Herod Agrippa I, the Bible tells us that he was partly Jewish. He was part Jewish. And so he was trying to be their king. But the Jews didn't recognize him as authentically Jewish. Because he was only partly Jewish. He was only half Jewish. So he was only, my point is he was only hating on the Christians because the non-Christian Jews were. He was only hating on the Christians because it was going to get him political favor. We don't even go there in our culture today. He didn't care that Peter preached. He didn't care that Peter preached. He didn't care about the church or the religious system. Mm-hmm. He cared about his status.
Yeah.
He didn't put Peter in prison for preaching the gospel. He didn't put Peter in prison for preaching to 3,000 Jews were converted at one time in the upper room. He put Peter in prison because it pleased his haters. It pleased the Jews. He only cared about his status. What am I saying? You will get singled out because hell knows who you are. The enemy doesn't care about your name. He don't care about your status. He don't care how many check marks you've got on social media. He don't care how many friends you've got. He don't care how many people like you. Amen. He don't care about your giftings and how gifted you are. Hallelujah. Amen. He cares about your influence. He cares about how many people are going to be influenced to turn their lives to Jesus because of your submission and commitment to the cause of the gospel, which is what Peter was doing. Amen. The enemy doesn't care about none of that. Hallelujah. Here Peter was in jail and it wasn't even his fight. This ain't your fight. You're in, some of you, whoever I'm talking to today, you're in the place you're in simply because your influence is causing the enemy anxiety. Your ability to pray anyway. Your tenacity to stand up and lift your hands and praise God despite what it feels like. You know, that bulldog tenacity. And I've said it before, you know, you got to have the mindset of a chihuahua. Those chihuahuas think they're pit bulls. If you've got a chihuahua, no offense. Amen, but boy, that... You got hold of your hand, but I'll smash you like a flea. Because they don't see it like that. You gotta have that bulldog tenacity. You gotta outlast the devil. You gotta take amen giving up off of the checklist. It's not an option. It is not an option. The enemy will single you out when you are like that. He wants your influence. Peter never even had a conversation with Herod or never been in trouble with the city. And here he is arrested and put in prison. But God allowed Peter to get in trouble to show the church he will answer prayer. So we don't know why God lets us get in trouble, but he's got a greater purpose. Hallelujah. What we have to do is know that we can sleep with the enemy. Even though we are chill, come on somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah, praise God. God allowed Peter to get in trouble. He will be with you. He wanted to show the church, I will be with you in times of trouble. Because the Bible says that when Peter was arrested, James had been beheaded, Peter was arrested, the church went into earnest prayer.
Yeah, they did.
The Bible says they went into prayer without ceasing. Mm-hmm. That phrase without ceasing is translated, it means to stretch out.
All
right. It's related to a medical term that describes the stretching of a muscle to its limit. So Peter was in trouble, and the church was being stretched to its limits. The threat, because who would be next?
Right.
If James was beheaded and Peter was arrested, what are they going to do to us?
Right?
Right? Now we know that they prayed for Peter to get out of prison, but they didn't believe it was going to happen, at least not that quick, I don't suppose. Maybe they thought he would go to trial, and they would go to trial and stand and make their witness. Because the Bible says that when the angel led Peter out the city, that he went to Mary's house, the mother of John Mark, where the church was being stretched to its limits where they were praying, and he knocked on the door, and the servant named Rhoda went to the door, and he said, "Hey, this is Peter." And the Bible says she was so taken back that she didn't even bother to open the door and look. She went running and interrupted. I don't know if they were praying at that moment or not, but she went around and told them, said, "Peter's at the door." They said, "Lord, Rhoda, you've lost your mind. You've gone mad." They said, you've gone mad. You're hearing things." No. Because Peter came and he knocked the first time, and she went and he said, "It's Peter." She went and told him. They said, "Nah, we think you've lost your mind." She's like, "No, I'm telling you, it was Peter's voice." And she went back and he was still knocking. See, even when we're not sure, when God answers the first time, he'll keep knocking. Amen. To let us know, "It's me. I'm here. Amen. I will answer your prayer." Amen. He's still knocking. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. They thought, man, she's lost her mind. Amen. But Peter, amen, was standing at the door. Praise God. God was allowing Peter's trouble to show them. See, listen. Amen. The wiles of the devil. You say, why would God allow trouble? Because the wiles of the devil are part of his systematic method. It's part of his systematic method for all who have surrendered to the will of God. You cannot, amen, avoid the wiles of the devil. But you see, God has got a systematic remedy in place. Hallelujah for the wiles of the devil. And it's the whole armor of God. He said, "Have on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand, amen, the evil darts, the wiles of the devil when he shoots out and comes against you." Are you hearing me? Hey, man, the enemy's got a system. He's got a pre-planned method to try to take you out, but God has already got you covered. I already told you your victory is pre-planned today. When Peter and the angel passed the first and the second guards who were posted at their stations, the Bible says they came to the iron gate of the city. And the King James says that it opened on its own accord. You read the translation, it means it automatically opened. Now, it didn't do that for others, but it did for Peter. You ever, when you walk up to automatic doors, right, into a building, you step a certain place, and it's set to trigger that, and that door opens automatically. You don't even have to push it open. You don't have to do anything. It just automatically opens. Amen. And you just walk right on through. Amen. See, that's what God was, amen, showing Peter. Amen. When they passed through that and they came to that, amen, it opened automatically. But you see, here's the problem. Many of you, amen, worry about the iron gate before you ever get to it. You'll spend days worrying about the iron gate. What am I going to do? That's in the way. I get out of prison. How am I going to get the keys to the gate? How am I going to get out? But see, it'll be taken care of by God when you get to it. Because it's an automatic open. You don't have to touch it. You don't have to push it. You don't have to pry it. You don't have to wait. When you come upon it, wherever the sole of your foot shall tread, it shall be given to you.
I'm going to talk right in here.
It'll be automatic. Mm-hmm. I read the testimony of this Christian man who was in Tibet. He was, how do you say that, Tibetan? You say Tibetan, Tibetan? I don't know. But he was from Tibet, and he was a Christian in Tibet. And he was thrown in a well, and a cover was put over that well, and it was locked for preaching the gospel. Wow. They threw him in that well for preaching the gospel. They left him there to die. When he got in there, he said there were bones and rotting corpses of others who had been thrown in the well for preaching the gospel. And it was covered, and it was locked. But he said on the third night, he heard someone unlocking the cover to the well. And they lowered a rope down into the well, and they told him to tie that rope to himself. And they pulled him up out of that well. And when he came up out of the well, he went to thank the rescuer, but he couldn't find anybody. He couldn't find anyone to thank them. The next morning, I love this part of it. He went back to the place where he was arrested for preaching and started preaching again.
Well, see.
Amen.
The official who arrested him heard that he was preaching, and they brought him again. And the official said, "Someone got the key and let you out." But when they looked for the key, it was still on the official's belt. The key had not been taken off of the official's belt. So what happened? Amen. If God sees fit to get you in trouble, He'll see fit to get you out of it. Are you hearing me? If God sees fit to get you in trouble, He is going to see fit to get you out of trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. They don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. We know who opened that well. It was an angel of the Lord who brought him out and showed them that you don't have to have the key. But Jesus is the key to your prison.
Amen.
Peter was sleeping with the enemy. I thought about Peter this morning and how he was sleeping with the enemy. No doubt Peter's mind went back to that night when he and the other disciples were on the boat in the middle of the water. And Jesus was asleep. And a storm rose up. And water was filling the boat. And they cried, "Master, Master, don't you care that we are going to perish?" Jesus woke up, "Peace be still," and the wind, the storm obeyed. Peter remembered, if Jesus slept through it, then I can sleep through it. If Jesus slept through the storm, then I can find peace and rest in this storm. If Jesus can sleep through a sword, then I can sleep with the enemy. See, you got to be unpredictable in a predictable situation.
Okay.
You got to sleep through it. Verse 7. I'm about to finish. In verse 7, if you'll pull that up in the complete Jewish Bible, it says in the King James, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. That's not the complete Jewish Bible, is that not? But there should be. Yes, I did. I'll argue with you on that. Can you find that one? Just the translation changes it. Just a little. You see what it says there in the King James? Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Upon the Lord.
Or Brandon.
There it is.
Suddenly. That's the word. Mm-hmm. King James says, behold, it's translated into Hebrew, suddenly an angel of Adonai stood there. Suddenly. See, while you're sleeping, God is doing something. That's why you can sleep with the enemy. Amen. Because you sleep, God does it suddenly. Amen. You take rest and you learn to sleep. While you're sleeping, there's going to come a suddenly. Hallelujah. Look at it. Amen. In the Word. How many places in the Word where someone was sleeping and God shows up? Adam was sleeping. Amen. And God took out of him, amen, the rib and made him a helpmate. Amen. Jacob was sleeping and God gave him a vision. Amen. Of angels ascending and descending on the ladder. Hallelujah. Praise God. We see, amen, God doing something. So while you're sleeping, God is doing something.
Amen.
If you're anxious and you're fearful, you might miss what God is doing. But suddenly, you sleep, His suddenly. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But you can sleep with the enemy. You can sleep in the middle of your storm. I've said it before about Luann. I believe she could sleep through a hurricane. Baby's a little, they whimper. She's straight up out the bed. But everything blowing, thunder, light on the outside. I'm here. I'm just a light sleeper.
I'm sorry.
But you can lay down and sleep with the enemy. Because while you're sleeping, God is doing something. We feel like we have to, our trust and our faith has to preach a message, and we have to make it known. Sometimes faith just sleeps and rests in the presence of the storm. Sleeping with the enemy as they come to the music. You stand with me across this place. No one likes it when God gets us in trouble. You understand what I'm saying, right? You understand that? That might say that. When God allows, Peter done nothing. The enemy doesn't care about our preaching, our abilities, our name, how big our ministry is. The enemy doesn't care about none of that. But if you can influence one person to say yes to Jesus and surrender their will to the will of God, then you're a target. You're targeted. See, the wiles, his wiles are pre-planned. It's a systematic issue. And he doesn't care what else you've been through, what else you're going through. He'll send it out. God's got your victory pre-planned. And while you sleep, his suddenly, there was an angel of the Lord. Just when you don't expect it, he will show up. Sure, he was answering. He's still knocking. The Bible says, I love this part too. This really doesn't have much to do with my message today, but I love that when they opened the door and saw it was Peter, they must have been all like, Peter went, shh. The Bible says that Peter quieted them with his hand. I don't know if he did this or not. But somehow he made a motion. It's all okay. God has answered your prayer. He brought me out. And the Bible says he went on his way. Hallelujah. Sleeping with the enemy. The more levels, the more devils. And this season I've been in, I promise you, there have been days, even weeks, that I felt like every demon available was assigned to my life. And God allowed. Saying to somebody today, just learn to sleep with the enemy. There's a suddenly coming. I was torn between titling this message Sleeping with the Enemy or There's a Suddenly Coming. Some of you need to learn to rest in the peace of Jesus. Today, if you're in this place and you don't know the Lord, you're lost. You haven't made that commitment.